This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'ina wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. We always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how much we praise Him, it will never be enough. No matter how much we remain in His worship directly through sujood, it will still not be enough. The Almighty has really been very, very merciful upon us all. If we were to ponder for a moment, we would realize that we are not even befitting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the deeds that we do. Rather, it is solely through His mercy that He has mercy upon us. So we owe all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all, and may He bless every single one of us and grant us goodness. My brothers and sisters in Islam, in life every one of us has plans. We all think we want to achieve this, we want to do this, we want to get this, and everyone would like a good future. We all would like, subhanAllah, to get married. Even those who are married are talking about getting married again. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us all and grant us goodness. See all the men smiling. I'm sure the women on the other side are frowning. May Allah grant us goodness. And everyone is talking of how they want their business to flourish, how they want to find a job, how they want to have children, how they want the success of their children, how they would like to buy this property and that, how they would like, for example, to do this and do that. And from amongst the things we'd like to achieve also is how we would like to reach out to others, how if we had wealth we would be helping so many people, how if we had the goodness that Allah has bestowed upon others, what we would be doing with it. All this is part and parcel of the plan that human beings have. But one thing for certain is our planning is very limited, and our planning in actual fact has no execution except through the plan of Allah. So whatever I plan is irrelevant. And one might say, how are you saying it's irrelevant? The truth is, if it is not for the planning of Allah, and if Allah does not decree it and has not decreed it and does not want it to happen, it will never happen, no matter how powerful I think I am. So for example, you can have a house, you can have a car, you can have millions, you can have children, you can have the best of wives, you can have the smartest of everything. But if your health goes and you are laying in that bed in the hospital, everything becomes irrelevant. Every single thing becomes irrelevant. Then what becomes relevant? That's a question. At that point, what becomes relevant? Whatever you've done with what you had before that point becomes relevant. So before the point of your death, may Allah grant us all a good mort, a good death. Before the point of death, what have you done? I am alive now. I feel healthy by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah knows when He's about to take that away. It could be in the next few seconds. And it could be a little bit later on. But whilst I'm healthy, what did I do? Did I fulfill my salah? Did I understand that a day will come when I won't be healthy anymore? Did I understand that a day will come when I won't be wealthy anymore, or my wealth will become irrelevant? Did I understand that there is a bigger picture, or do I become depressed now that I'm sick? Do I become depressed now that I'm on my deathbed? Do I become depressed now that the plan is not exactly how I wanted it? If that is the case, we have lost focus. We don't even know why we were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says very beautifully, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have neither created mankind nor jinnkind except for them to worship me. This sometimes looks like a very dry verse to those whose iman is weak. That how can I just remain in the worship of Allah from point of birth to point of death? The reality is, if we don't understand that that is the reason why Allah has made us, we are at loss. Because it takes a person to become an invalid to understand that yes, indeed, I am going to return to Allah, and this world is actually a huge deception. So beautiful is the sleep that Allah gives us, that not only do we like to coze into our beds, but we dream things that really we would not be able to do in real life. So in your dream, you're driving a Ferrari. But in real life, you're not even gone to Harare yet. Allahu Akbar. In your dream, you have so much beauty, you have so much goodness. You marry the girl of your dreams, the man of your dreams. But in real life, you're not yet married. Allahu Akbar. And there is no chance of you heading in that direction. So Allah gives you a dream. And in that dream, you do things. Subhanallah, it's amazing. Have you ever thought of how it is to wake up from your dream? Allahu Akbar. Two types of dreams we talk about. One is a nightmare. When you are shot dead, Allah protect us. What happens? You wake up. I'm talking of shot dead in your sleep. You wake up and you like sort of sigh of relief. I wonder if we actually say, Alhamdulillah, I'm alive. I'm actually alive. But what happened? You don't realize you actually moved from one stage to another. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha والتي لم تمت في منامها فيمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى. It is Allah who takes away the souls of two kinds of people. Allah takes away the souls of the people at their death, so the soul goes away. And Allah takes away the souls of the people when they are asleep. So the soul is somehow taken in a way that Allah knows best. Different from death. But it is also taken. So Allah says, He keeps the souls of those whose death has been written in their sleep. So the soul is not returned into the body at the time of getting up. They don't get up. And He returns the soul into the bodies of those whom waking up is written. Which means your life is still prolonged. This would mean that when I had a nightmare, my soul was actually not totally connected to my body as when I was awake. But I suddenly become awake, and sometimes your heart is pulsating so much, you feel it, you know, boom, boom, boom. Why? Because I just had a nightmare. I was shot dead. But you got up into what you would perceive is reality. One day we will wake up from what we think that is reality right now into the real reality. The real reality is the life post-death. That's reality. So Allah keeps on telling us in the Quran that you know this life of the world is an amusement and a pastime. It is a deception. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the life of this world is nothing but the provisions of deception. Allah says it clearly. In another place He says, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُوٌ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And the life of this world is nothing but an amusement, a pastime. لَهُ لَعِب, playtime. You enjoy, you know, and so on. And Allah says the real life is that of the Akhirah. That is the real life. You don't test death. You don't taste death again. Subhanallah. In this dunya, you will taste death. You taste calamity. Allah tells you, everything will happen according to our plan. You are responsible for the way you have utilized the choice that we gave you. But it's up to us to decide whether what you have planned shall be allowed to happen. Either as you planned it, better than you planned it, or worse than you planned it, or it won't happen at all. That's Allah's plan. Now the point I want to get to is that Allah has kept the power in Him as a mercy for us. Imagine if the power was in our hands. Do you know what Allah says? وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ. If Allah had to give everyone how much wealth they wanted, people would become tyrants. People would become crooks. People would become really killers of one another, spreading chaos on earth. Because imagine I get what I want, you get what you want. You just say a figure and next thing it's in your account. Allahu Akbar. If that was the case, we would all be big bosses. And you know what happened when there are big bosses. Shaitan comes creeping in. Those who have iman are saved. And those who don't have iman are the ones who are at loss. So it's a good thing to have wealth if your iman is intact. But if your iman is not intact, it's the worst nightmare and enemy for us to have the dunya laid out in front of us when there's no iman. So for the dunya to be laid out in front of us is a gift only If we realize that I'm going to have to use this to get to my real abode, which is the Akhirah. Do you know most of us have more wealth than we're ever going to spend in the dunya? Most of us. And one might say, but how? I can't even afford school fees. The reality is, you will end up getting wealth such that when you are in your death, when you are on your deathbed, you'll still have change. Allahu Akbar. There'll be change left there. May Allah grant us good sustenance that will be a means of our entry into paradise. So, sometimes we earn so much and we spend so much. Alhamdulillah. Some people earn very little and they spend so much. But the losers are those who earn so much and they spend very little. Because they haven't understood that this wealth is only but a test from Allah. He will take it when He wants. He will give it when He wants. If we understand that, the day we suffer a huge loss, we're still saying, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, when I had it, I tried my best. Now I don't have it, the responsibility on my shoulder is less. Allahu Akbar. When a person's health suddenly goes away, if he used that health in a good way and his iman is solid, you know how he will think? He will say, Ya Allah, when I had my health, I did not miss a Salatul Fajr. Ya Allah, I am confident that you are writing for me the reward of my Salatul Fajr, even though at the moment my legs are amputated. May Allah grant us goodness of our legs, good use of our legs. That is the way of looking at things. But when a person's iman is not intact, the minute the health problem, we become depressed. Why? We want our plan to overtake the plan of Allah. That's never going to happen. So what's the result of it? Depression. You are sad, you are upset, you are angry, and you don't want to talk to people. You become like a person who really thinks, you know what, why did Allah do this to me? But who are you to question your maker who is ultimately going to take you away? You're going to be returned into the soil. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. Beautiful verse, we know it off by heart, where Allah says, we created you from the soil, from the dust, and we will return you into it and we are going to resurrect you from it. If you don't understand that plan, you disagree with it, or your weakness of iman makes you depressed when you think of it, then there is a major problem. Because Allah made you, your children, your parents and everyone else, and He will take you away, your children away, your parents away at a date that's already fixed and a time and a place that's already spot on. No change to that. إِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ إِذَا جَاءَ لَا يُؤَخَّرُ. The appointed time and place that Allah has fixed, when it comes, it is not going to be delayed. Not at all. No change to it. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us the ability to accept taqdeer. So if things were in our hands, we would start fighting each other. And this is why those who want to fight each other for rozi and sustenance, their iman is weak. You know, you have a hardware business. And opposite the road, your friend opens a hardware business. So now we stop talking. But brother, he was your friend for so many years. Your iman is weak. So what if he opened a hardware business across the road? Let him also earn a little bit. Allahu Akbar. That is reality. We become upset because, do you know why? We want the money for ourselves, yet our bank balance is so big that two generations would survive with that money. Allahu Akbar. But the man across the road, he mustn't earn. Why? Because I must be the earner. If that is the idea, it's just a sign that we need a bit of a tapping on our iman. We need a bit of a tapping to say, hang on, you know what? Let them also earn. Subhanallah. I remember when I was in Medina and I wept one day when someone came into this one store to buy a cloak, you know, a female's abaya. And the deal was struck and so on. And the owner, who was a friend of mine, he said to this woman that, you know what, my sister, the same cloak you want, please buy it from that man across the road who sells the same stock, because whole day no one has purchased from him yet. And from me, quite a few people have come to buy things. You know, I thought of it and I said, back at home, the opposite is happening. We will put a sign in his place with a worker from his shop being paid under the ground to say, when someone comes there, just point towards our direction. This is what's happening. And if that's the case, the belief in taqdeer, in iman, the iman is weak, the belief is gone weak. And we don't understand the success is in the hands of Allah, does not depend on figures and facts and your health. No. Your health never ever determines your success. There are some people who are unhealthy, more successful than me and you. Because what is the true success? The closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get close to Allah, you find yourself in the masjid, you find yourself close to the ulama, you find yourself, you are protected, your heart is clean, you have a good system of talking because you fear Allah. Every movement of yours is a preparation of Jannah. That is a person who's successful. So when someone says dirty words, ask yourself, if I were to carry these words, is it a preparation towards Jannah or towards Jahannam? The answer of that will help you to act or not to act. Allahu Akbar. Ask yourself, what I want to do right now, what I am doing right now, is it my preparation towards Jannah or towards another place? And you will be able to help yourself live a life. Everything. When you go home, the way you talk to your family, do you know Allah gives you a free opportunity to engage in an act of worship that those who don't have a family have not been given the opportunity to engage in? You've got a wife and children, but other people don't have wives. They don't have children. So what happens? Allah says, right, you walk into your home. Let's see how you are going to earn Jannah through the mere fact that your children have come out to see you. How do you greet them? Do you start with salam? That's a part of your contribution towards Jannah. That's your belief in Allah. Do you realize that they are just a temporary gift of Allah to you? Temporary gift. Allah, as He gave them to you through a miracle, He will take them away through His power. When He wants, before you, after you, or with you. Allahu Akbar. But if our iman is weak, we don't seize opportunities to earn paradise because our focus is dunya. That's all. So at the end of the day, we're on our deathbeds and we're sitting back and saying, hey, I wish I can get up for Salatul Fajr, make tawbah to Allah. I've never ever got up for Fajr before. Too late. Well, maybe not too late, but we could have done better, couldn't we? So that's why we're talking to each other today. I can do better. One of the best signs of a mu'min's closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cleanliness of his heart. The interior cleanliness. When a person is linked with Allah, it is clear in his actions, in his words, in his style of walking, in where he is present, in the type of people he mixes with, in the type of expression he has on his face. It's quite clear that this person is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is not important for people to recognize that. It is important for you to recognize your own maker in a way that you are satisfied with your link with Allah. And you always want a little bit more, but you're happy that you no longer have the bad qualities that you had. This is success. This is true success. When we are prepared to sacrifice for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that everything I do is a preparation for Jannah. Now, a point that comes to mind, some people sometimes they say, when people become very healthy, very good looking and very wealthy, and everything is moving in their direction, they start saying that I want to do good deeds, but I don't want to do it as a deal to say I'm bargaining with Allah to give me a reward. I want to do it for myself. I've heard people ask me a question. That can't I do a deed saying, look, I just want to do this. It's not like I want to do a deal with Allah to say, okay, I'll do this and you give me a reward. But I just want to do the deed without anything in return. Do you know that that is blaspheme? That is satanic. That is actually something that you might think is humane, yet it removes the iman from a heart to think in that way. Because we are totally and absolutely dependent upon Allah. He gave us the health in the first place. He gave us the wealth in the first place. How can we think, I'm just giving this, I don't want anything from Allah, when Allah is the one who gave it to us? How can we say that? So this is why even when it comes to fasting, and when it comes to standing in Taraweeh in Ramadan, the hadith says, مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ وَصَامَهُ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whoever stands or fasts in Ramadan, standing obviously in Taraweeh, in Salah, with Iman, meaning belief, Ihtisab, meaning, if I were to translate it for you, expecting a reward from Allah. For them, Allah will grant them forgiveness for whatever sins they've committed in the past. Because you are doing it for Allah, with the health that Allah gave you, with the ability that Allah gave you, and you are still saying that I am in total need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your level of iman will take you one step higher to say, Ya Allah, I did all this, but accept it through your mercy. Amazing. Because we know a man who comes and says, Ya Allah, I want entry into Jannah because I did a lot of good deeds. He won't get entry into Jannah until he says, Ya Allah, grant me entry into Jannah through your mercy. So ignore the deeds we've done. This is why all of us, our dua is, and we make it here again, Ya Allah, grant us Jannah without hisab, kitab, without adab, through your mercy, Ya Allah. All these deeds we do, one wonders whether even the level of sincerity and the level of concentration is enough to plug it into what may be termed acceptable in the eyes of Allah. Who knows? All of us, 100% of us, we do not have 100% concentration in salah. The best from amongst us might be 95%. That also the best. The friends of Allah from amongst us. May Allah grant us goodness. So what about that 5%? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. So Allah has kept the power within Him as a mercy for us, so that we do not fight with one another, compete with one another. We do not become saddened when we suffer loss in the dunya. And we do not become so excited when we have gained in terms of a profit in the dunya. Let me read for you a verse of the Quran that comes to mind. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزِيزٌ يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of taqdeer, the fact that everything that happens to you, a musibah, a difficulty, a calamity, even goodness if you were to look at it, although this verse makes mention of the musibah, the difficulties that happened to you in your life, they were written for you. They were written next to your name before anything. And Allah says, the reason why we did this is so that you do not become so saddened when you suffer a loss, because you relate the loss to Allah and His power. And you do not become too arrogant or haughty or happy or excited when you have gained something, because you know it is solely by the mercy of Allah that you have got. Look at Qarun. What he had, his only crime was that he continued to say, this is my own intellect. He forgot to ask the question, who gave me the intellect? That's a question you forget. So people think, hey, me, I'm sharp. I came first in school. So now I'm going to earn. Got nothing to do with Allah. Astaghfirullah. Who gave you the intellect? How were you sharp? That's what it is. How are you a witty businessman? It is because of Allah and Allah alone. And if He wants, even with your wit, He can make you struggle and suffer a loss. Allahu Akbar. It's like people who say, you know what? I've got 10 children. May Allah protect us. We have seen carnages and road accidents where people have lost their whole families. The whole family gone. Now what happened to you and your statement? This is why we are taught to say Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, related to Allah. Continue asking Allah's goodness. Have a concern in your heart to say, Ya Allah, as you have given me, so you can take it away. That will keep you humble. That will keep you down to earth. That will make you a person who realizes and understands the gift of Allah upon you. Subhanallah. But with us, we become sad. I lost a child. May Allah protect us all. A person will tell you, I lost a child and my life has come to an end. The reality is, your life is terminal anyway. Your life is going to come to an end anyway, whether you lost the child or you didn't. It is better that Allah took your child away early, so now you realize what the value of life is. And you realize the fact that I'm going to go. So many people, it takes the death of a loved one for them to turn to Allah. So many people, it takes a calamity for them to turn to Allah. That is actually the biggest gift of Allah upon that person. The biggest gift. But they look at it as a calamity, not realizing the bigger picture is I'm a much better Muslim now after this calamity than I was before it. So it's Allah's gift. He loves us enough to have overruled our plan in order for us to get closer to Him, which we did not even have in plan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from those who do not plan goodness. Plan goodness. Why we say plan goodness? When we plan goodness, we are rewarded by the mere intention of it. If we are able to execute it, we get a double and a multiplied reward. If we are not able to execute it for some reason that Allah has blocked us, we still achieve the reward. The reward is written next to our names. Someone who planned, I'm going to go to the masjid and inshallah I will be in the first saf, so I'm going very early. 11 o'clock if they were here and the first saf was completely full, I would like to hope that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for them first saf attendance. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us goodness. So my brothers and sisters, we have learnt a lot. I always achieve a lot of comfort by believing firmly that Allah is in absolute and total control. Whatever happens to you is in the control of Allah. He knows why. He knows it is better for you. Allah does not do bad things. Allah does good things. Man does bad things. And when someone does bad to you, remember it is better for you. Take a look at the story. One of the worst incidents that have happened in the lives of the mothers of the believers recorded in the Quran, Aisha radiallahu anha being accused of adultery, na'udhu billah. You know what Allah said? Think about it. If any one of us was accused blatantly and openly of adultery and the whole community was talking about it, we wouldn't show face. We wouldn't be able, knowing that it's a lie, we would not, after a certain point, when the whole community believes something rotten about you, you won't want to show face. Look at what happened to Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah says in Surah An-Nur,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ.
Allahu Akbar. Those who came with this blatant accusation against Aisha radiallahu anha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are a group from amongst you. Do not think it's bad for you. It's actually good for you. What does that mean? That means all this that people are saying in terms of accusation against Aisha radiallahu anha, Allah is saying that is not bad. It's something good for you. It's bad for those. But for you, it's the best thing that could have happened. So Aisha radiallahu anha after that used to always say, I am the one whose clearance is revealed in the Quran. My purity and my chastity is revealed in the Quran, recited up to the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. Would that have happened had she not been accused? The answer is no. So Allah says, we wanted something and we want something. You want something, but whatever we want will override what you want. The day you and I surrender to that, we are a happy person, come what may. I end with a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Powerful hadith, we know it. I'm sure a lot of us would know it off by heart. Amazing are the affairs of a true believer. Amazing. Why amazing? No matter what happens to them, a true believer is always happy. Always happy. Always smiling. Nobody will look at your face and tell how much stress people are trying to give you, or you have, or struggling financially or health-wise. We always smiling. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Praise be to Allah upon all conditions. Only one condition we should be fearing. A'udhu billahi min hali ahli an-nar. We ask Allah's protection from the condition of those who shall be cast into hellfire. If that is our concern, wallahi, everything will fall into place. If my concern is, ya Allah, my Jannah, my Jannah, my Jannah, we won't be bothered about others. But the minute we are losing focus, we should know the devil is clutching. The devil is coming. So that hadith I was ending with, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهِ. When goodness overtakes or comes to a true believer, he is thankful to Allah, humble, happy. So it's better for him. Thankful. So when goodness comes to us, ask ourselves, are we humble? Are we happy? Are we closer to the ground? You know, it's amazing when you see someone, you meet them, and it's happened to me of late where I met a certain brother and I just met him by chance and he greeted me so nicely and so on. And later on, I was told, this man is a minister and he's a powerful figure and he is this and he is that. And I said, subhanallah, if I wasn't told, I would have thought this man is just an ordinary muadzin from a masjid down the road. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And I said, look, this is something we learn from. So the last part of the hadith says, when evil or calamity befalls a true believer, he is still happy through sabr. He endures in a way that he realizes Allah has given me a chance to engage in an act of worship. That those who are not gone through the same thing have not even had the opportunity to go through. And the list is endless. How many things Allah gives us as gifts, which we perceive negative, which are actually positive, the list is endless. So many things. But it's up to us to consider and contemplate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.